Hello, darling.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, the Memphis edition. Well, at least just the intro is. But this story actually does kind of take place or has roots in Tennessee. So Vanessa, who you're going to hear from in a little bit, she has a very interesting story, and trigger warning for moments of gaslighting, love bombing. Vanessa's story to me is very Dirty John adjacent, and she's someone that's been so close to my family. Like, just, it kind of breaks my heart how sweet she's been to us. She's like my sister's best friend, but I met her when I was a teenager, and when I found out about her story, I really wanted to share it, and I think it could help other women who have been love bombed, gaslit, you know, coercive control, all of the things that you kind of don't know what's happening while you're in it. It's happened to me probably too. So I just think it's a really helpful story. I think it's helpful healing story for Vanessa, telling us about a person who wasn't who they said they were. Could have been living a double life. It makes you think, what are people really capable of? And do you ever really know someone?
All thoughts, notions, and opinions expressed in this podcast are merely the opinions of each individual speaker and do not necessarily represent facts.
Well, hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for doing this.
Hi, Rach.
So, I know Vanessa because her and my sister have been, wild bandits since... how old were you guys when you met?
I was like a 20. 1920? Yeah.
And when I say wild bandits, they did actually nothing wrong except for they hopped around from various college to college. Vanessa's like a second sister to me. And I've known you since I was I would have been
young.
When you came to Astoria and Warrenton or whatever that one time, I was still in high school then. Yeah.
You might have been, did you go to Oregon? I think you were in college. You might have been. No, because I was in college. Yeah, and you were in high school.
Yeah, I think I might have been in high school. So I was, Talia and I are 3 years apart, I guess 2 years at a certain time of the year between July and September, but mostly 3 years. I think I met you when I was in high school, I'm pretty sure. I think it was my senior year of high school.
Way, way, way back when.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, Vanessa, tell us a little bit about, like, what brought you to the story we are going to go into today?
I guess we'll start with where my life was before. And I guess I was married to a very lovely guy. And I'd worked at an English pub in LA, and life was pretty calm, no drama. A guy had come to town to work at the restaurant I was working at. His name was John, and he was charming. And at the time, I was kind of like questioning my marriage. Like, I was, it wasn't like toxic or anything, but I feel like I was just questioning if I was happy and if I wanted to stay in the situation I was in. And in comes John, who was like super charming and Irish. And we kind of hit it off right away. We were like really good friends. He like knew my husband. He knew like a lot of, like, obviously a lot of the same people that I knew. And we just had a really good friendship for a long time. Like we worked a lot of the same shifts together, and I'd drive him home after work sometimes. And I feel like there was a little bit of a crush, but like, nothing really ever happened. And then I started talking to him about my husband at the time. And, he was kind of encouraging me to, if I wasn't happy to get out. And I felt like he maybe had a crush on me, but I wasn't like really sure. But then COVID happened and my husband went from working 12 hours a day to being home every day. And I was like, shit, like, I got to get out of this. So I had gone to Florida and I talked to John a lot while I was in Florida. And I was thought about, you know, the possibility of like us being together. But again, I was just trying to, you know, get out of the situation I was in first. And so when I came back from Florida, I had left my husband and John just got super like distant and he blamed like COVID and he was like doing his own shit. And so we kind of just drifted apart.
So hi, I am Danny and I have been best friends with Vanessa for going on 23 years. So I met her before she was even 21 years old. So she's always been like a little sister to me. And we've lived together. We've traveled together. We've worked together. She really is my family. And I'm actually very close to her mom and, you know, brother and nieces and nephews. So she definitely is more of a family member than just a friend.
I describe Vanessa as part of our family. She's like an aunt to Belle and Elias. She has so many friends, and she remembers all of them. She celebrates every friend for every birthday. I don't know how she has the energy. She is the most thoughtful, sweet. She's there for you. I mean, she's always there for her friends. She's just a sweetheart, the most thoughtful, wonderful friend.
Okay, so I left Graham when I got back from Florida, and I moved in with my mom. And I was just feeling like I needed a change. I'd worked at the restaurant I was at for like 17 years. So in the meantime, one of my good friends opened up a new bar, also in LA, but a little further away. And I took it because where I was working was where I met my husband in the first place. So there was a lot of like the same circles. And I just thought a new break, new start. And so I worked at my new job. And that was, so we reopened, I think, in May, and then we shut back down again in November. And apparently in November, John went back to New York. And I should say that he came from New York with, like, this weird excuse that he wanted to learn to surf, and, like, he never actually surfed, but, like, he didn't have, like, a lot of friends here. And he was from Northern Ireland, which will come into the story later, but he's from Northern Ireland, so he's bounced around from what I understood, like all over. He lived in France for a while. He lived in Amsterdam, lived in London, lived in New York.
So you worked with him at the new restaurant, not the ye olde King's Head?
No, the King's Head's where I met him. He ended up, when he came back, when we ended up getting together, is when he came to work with me at the new restaurant. But I met at the King's Head.
But was he a patron or did you work with him there?
No, he was a manager. He like came in and yeah, he was the manager at the King's Head. Yes.
Got it.
Okay, so then I live with my mom, you know, life is difficult after breaking up with your husband for 8 years.
So Vanessa, you know, she had a relationship with John. I'm going to call it round one. And he up and left and she was completely devastated. And Vanessa is one of the kindest people I've ever met in my entire life. Like, she has a heart of gold. She would give you her last dollar. She will do anything for anybody, even if you're not that close to her. Like, she's truly a good person. So to see this guy come in and destroy her, it was so hard to watch and to see, because you feel so bad for, like, how could this asshole do this to her? She's such a good person and she truly loved him.
When I moved to New York, I ended up going to New York the following May with a friend. And I was thinking, like, you know, I still kind of had a feeling, like, feeling for him, wondering what could happen. And so I met him in New York, and he hadn't been working since the pandemic. So he'd been out of work for, like, I don't know, 8 months, living on someone's couch. And we met up, and he was, like, weird. He's also in the program, so he doesn't drink, if that comes into, so he used that a lot as his excuses, but he didn't drink. So we hung out. He was just going through a lot with the pandemic, not working. And so nothing happened then. So when I left in May, we kind of picked back up talking a lot again. And then around August, things started to get like a little flirty. And then I ended up going back to New York in October. And that was when like we were going to be together. And we had like the best weekend in New York. And we were deciding whether I was going to move to New York. I mean, everything moved very fast. Whether I was going to move to New York or he was going to move to LA. And we had met in Chicago, I think in November. And then in December, I went back to New York. And then by Christmas, he was going to come for Christmas just for a vacation. And then that turned into, well, I'm just going to come at Christmas and I'll just stay. Like, I just want to be with you. Let's like start our lives together. We would like FaceTime for like, I'm not even kidding. One time we FaceTime for like 10 hours in the daytime. Like, it was insane. And it was just like, I was like so in love. Yeah, it was crazy looking back now. But,
well, I have a question. So every time, so he's, did you say he was living with his mom in New York?
No, he was living on a couch. He was like couch surfing, which is, sorry, by the way, he's like 51 years old. He's like 10 years older than me. And he was couch surfing for the most part. And so, yeah.
So when he was in New York, so you went out there for a totally like unrelated reason the first time and you met up with him.
Yes, correct.
But prior to that, you guys had already like hooked up and kind of like, you know, you knew you were kind of into each other.
We hadn't hooked up yet. So the first time I went to New York, we still hadn't hooked up. Like, I kind of wanted to, but like nothing happened. He was very distant. And then it wasn't until then when I left New York, we like started talking and texting a lot again. And
so then the second time you went to New York, did he invite you out there? Like,
yeah, it was like I was going to see him. We were a couple. By September, we were like texting, and I was like, "Well, are you my boyfriend?" He's like, "Yeah, I want to be." And then so October, beginning of October, I went out, and that was like the trip, you know, the trip to see him, and like we hung out the whole week. It was amazing. Like, it was everything you could imagine to be like New York in the fall. It was, I want to throw up.
Oh, I guess it does sound nice. May I ask where you stayed, though, if he was still couch surfing?
So I got a hotel near. So by this point, he had got another job working at an Irish restaurant near Madison Square Garden. And so I got a hotel in that area. And in fact, I met your sister there, which is crazy because I met your sister there before. And it's weird. This is the first time he acted kind of bizarre because we had this whole weekend planned. And then Talia texts me and she was like, "Hey, I'm going to be in New York with Bella. Like, please come." And I'm like, "I'm going to be there like the following week." And she's like, "Come early, come early." And you know, your sister's like, she doesn't take no for an answer. So I was like, "Okay, I'll change my flight and I'll come early." And he got like so pissy about it. He was like, "This was supposed to be our vacation and now you're going to be like there with her and it's going to take," and he was like kind of weird, but he got over it quickly, thank God.
Did that seem like a red flag maybe because of what we'll find out later?
I mean, maybe, yeah.
Okay.
His thing at the time was
just,
yeah, okay. So then, whatever, we have this amazing weekend in New York, but he made it very adamant that he didn't want to see me until, like, we had planned, like, the date that we had planned to see each other. Like, he didn't want, like, me and Talia to show up, which ended up, we did end up seeing him. But we had walked past one time, and Talia didn't tell me this till now, but apparently Bella, when we walked past his restaurant, I was like, "I don't want to see him. I don't want him to see me." Bella had told Talia that she thought he was kissing another girl, which I was
really?
Like, "Why didn't you tell me that at the time?" And she was like, "Well, you were so excited to see him. And like, I wasn't sure if I saw it right." And like, but you know, Bella and her intuition. So
yeah.
But I would have never thought that because, I mean, when I went into work with him that week, like, he was showing me, he, like, introduced me to everybody. He, like, said he was showing everyone my pictures and how, like, excited he was for me to come visit. So I don't know. I mean, who knows?
First of all, how would Bella even know, like, who he was? I mean, you must have shown her a photo of her or something. But...
Well, she's met him before. She's been to the King's Head, and he's, like, bought her dessert, and she apparently said to your mom, I have a really bad feeling about him. He likes Vanessa. And this is obviously when I was still with Graham. And she was like, "I don't like him."
Yeah. Well, she loves Graham. Yeah. I mean, she's a teenager. She could have also just been kind of being dramatic or whatever, you know, by saying like he was kissing another woman. The bigger red flag to me is that he was adamant he did not want to see you until he planned to see you.
Right.
Meaning like,
right.
Can't catch this guy off guard.
But he also, like, the way he, like, explain it to you is kind of like we had this plan to meet at this time, and we did end up seeing him Or did we? Did I end up seeing? I didn't. No, you're right. I didn't see him until the day that we planned. But then Tally was still in New York.
You felt nervous to, like, surprise him. Like if you, you know, he didn't want you just showing up there.
Right. Yeah. So then we ended up, Talia was still, like, our trips overlapped. So then Talia and Bella ended up coming to his work with me in New York and, like, met him. And he was, you know, trying to be as charming as he always is. And so, yeah, I was, like, obsessed in love. I was, like, I'd never felt anything like this in my life. I had met the one. It was insane. He was, like, super, super, super charming. And then I went home. We talked every single day, FaceTime, like, whenever we weren't, it was a little pathetic, to be honest, like, looking back now, but, like, whenever we weren't working, we were, like, FaceTiming.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we met in Chicago in November, and he was, like, writing me letters, like, handwritten letters. He, like, mailed me, like, one time he mailed me one of his t-shirts, like it was a lot. And for my birthday, he sent me, like, this, like, what was it, like, 3 dozen roses that were, like, because the whole bouquet was, like, bigger than me, because my birthday was in October, so it was, like, just after I'd left New York. And we met in Chicago in November, had a great little weekend in November, and then I went back around Christmas time, and I was kind of going, like, even when I went this in December, he was, like, well, maybe you could live in New York, like, see what you think. And I just couldn't. I'm not a New York girl. Like, it's not for me. I don't do seasons. I like my car. But, like, it just was never going to be for me. And so I was like, yeah, like, come back to LA. And also, like, I wonder why, like, looking back now, like, why did he leave LA so abruptly as well? Like, I just feel like this is, you know, probably a pattern. But anyways, so he was going to come, like I said, at Christmas time for Christmas, but it ended up turning into, like, okay, I'm just going to move. And he had said, oh, a few other red flags beforehand, like, before we were, like, dating, and he lived in LA the first time, he had said, you know, I'm a minimalist. I have, like, enough things that I can, like, fit in a bag, in 2 bags. Like, I don't have a lot of belongings. You know, he had, like, literally, like, his closet was, like, 5 shirts, 2 pairs of pants, like, a t-shirt. It was very, like, he was, like, a big minimalist, which is obviously a red flag as well. So he came
to see, like, someone on the run a little bit.
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, again, I was so, like, in love. I didn't even think. I was like, this guy just loved. And he would say things like, you know, I've never put roots down anywhere. And, like, I'm just really looking forward to, like, building a home with you. And he came at Christmas time. He's like, you know, I've never had, like, put up a Christmas tree. He was just really into the whole, like, you know, nesting vibe with me. And at the time, my mom was still living in this apartment that I'm in. She was getting ready to retire, though. So that was kind of the plan. She was going to retire in, I think, May of the next year. So he came in December. And I mean, it's a huge apartment.
So then they, you know, reconnect and start talking again. And she knows this, so I'm not, like, talking shit or saying anything she doesn't already know. But I was very suspect of his behavior, round two. Because he is a recovering alcoholic, I felt his pattern and behavior was very much of an alcoholic.
But so he lived with us, and he, like, was, we were so happy. And he had got another job at a restaurant near where I worked. It didn't last long, but everything was great. I mean, when I say everything, like, he started doing Pilates with me, and that, like, a lot of people would say, you guys are together all the time and it's too much, and I'm like, yeah, but we're happy and it's great. And when I say it was, like, there was no toxicity. It was just, like, I was so happy. He seemed so happy. But he's from Northern Ireland, and he grew up in a time when there was, when, like, they called it the Troubles. So, like, the English were, like, trying to take over, or did take over, I guess. And a lot of his friends were killed, and the army, like, overtook all of where he's from, and he's been, like, shot at, according to him, again. But apparently people that know where he's from say these things are true. So he's always said he's had a lot of trauma. And he's from a big Irish family who he says they're all, like, his parents were kind of big into alcohol.
He moves back to LA, okay?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then you said he got a job at a restaurant or a bar. I can't remember what you said, restaurant or bar.
Yeah.
And then you say, but that didn't last long. So
well, he only worked there for maybe 5 months.
Well, did he find other employment, or were you then supporting him? So can you kind of go into that?
I never had to support him. Here's the thing. So the job that I work at now and was working at when he came, my owner knew him from the King's Head and was getting ready to open a second location. They didn't have it yet, but he had said, like, would John be interested in running it if I open a second location? But they didn't have it. And so in the meantime, he got this job at this barbecue place in Culver City. He got fired after 5 months, according to him, because it was right after St. Patrick's Day. For St. Patrick's Day, their restaurant took in Guinness for St. Patrick's Day, but they don't carry Guinness. And they had ordered, like, way too much. In the meantime, I don't know, a couple weeks later, we ran out of Guinness. And we're an Irish bar, and you can't not have Guinness. So I was like, what's bars do? Can I borrow a keg from you guys and we'll replace it? Yeah, no problem. Packs up in the car. And then I guess like a couple of days later, I kept saying to him, like, do you want me to just give you money for it, or do you want us to replace the keg? Because I knew they didn't carry it. And then according to him, they called him in the office and was like, you know, you never like paid us for the keg. It was never, you know, we never replaced. And so, like, we're going to let you go. In the meantime, he had said the other manager that he was working with, like, hated him, and they, like, got into it a lot. So I don't know, like, the ins and outs of all of it. But he also said it was, like, stupid that they were paying two managers to do, like, at a business that wasn't that, like, thriving. So I don't know if it had to do with, like, who knows? But again, yeah, after all the stuff I found out after, everything could be a lie. Who even knows? But
yeah,
so,
it does. So, it does. I mean, these things happen, but, like, it does sound so far like he's always somehow the victim.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Scenario.
So
yeah, but
Kevin
but
ends
the,
up hiring
the trouble
him.
Thing that you go into. That does actually sound very traumatizing.
Kevin ends up hiring him to work at my, because they still hadn't had a location yet for the new location. But he was like, look, he can come work with us. I can give him, like, shifts just to fill in every now and again. And so that's what he did. So now we were working together, working out together, living together. I, like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, this probably isn't healthy, but I was, again, so in love. He wouldn't even, like, I would, like, have to go run an errand. He's like, I'll just come with you. And he would, like, come to me. Like, so in the beginning, I was working days and he worked a couple nights, but he would come with me to work, help me, like, set up the bar. In the morning, he would go home, and then he'd come back and get me if he wasn't working, or he'd come back, I'd take the car home, but, you know, depending on what her schedule was. But, like, he didn't have any, as far as I knew, he didn't, any of his friends he had were my friends. People that he had met at the King's Head when we worked together, like, he didn't have any friends here. And so, yeah, it was just him and I. It was great. And then, but he called them black episodes. And every now and again, he'd get, like, kind of in, like, a weird mood. And he'd, like, it was almost like he was possessed for, like, but he was never, like, aggressive to me. He'd just get really quiet. And he'd say, oh, I'll have these black episodes. And I feel like I'm going to cry. And his AA sponsor had, like, and myself had been like, you should try therapy. And he was, like, so against it. And then finally, his sponsor was like, look, I'll pay for it, but just go. And he's like, and he would say to me, like, I really want this to work with you and I, you know, I've been like bounced around all my life and this is what I want. And he kind of made it sound like he was going to therapy for me, even though you don't go to therapy for somebody else, but, you know, he really wanted to make it work. And in the beginning, he came back and he would, like, tell me about all of the sessions. And he said, like, he's like, oh, the therapist said, I'm going to cry a lot. And there's going to be a lot of crying, like, getting all this out. There's going to be a lot of crying. And, like, he did start crying a lot. It was so weird. But that therapist ended up getting a brain tumor and dying, like, within, like, 3 months of his, maybe not even, like, 2 months of his sessions. He was going to be doing that EMDR therapy. Have you heard of it? It's like some eye rapid, it's for people that have dealt with trauma. It's supposed to help, like, PTSD. And so he was supposed to do that type of therapy. But so this guy dies, and he decides therapy's not for him. But now the crying episodes have started, the gates, and it's like, it wasn't often. It would, like, from what I can remember, it was like once every month, maybe not, maybe more, from what I can remember. And, like, I'm like in my little happy-go-lucky world. And so he'd, like, have his little episode, and the next day he'd be fine. And I was like, look, he's dealing with what he's dealing with. He seemed okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wasn't. And then I think of the new year, so we'd been living together maybe a year, he finally ended up going to a new therapist. And he, again, come home and tell me what all the things they would talk about. And he was very, like, vocal about, you know, he couldn't wait to, like, tell me about his sessions. And then more and more into it, I don't know, he started, I'd say, so he moved in December of 2021. So 2022 was great. 2023 was his 10-year sobriety anniversary. And he had his, like, one of his best friends flew out to surprise him. And he was, I don't know, it was about around then where I feel like he started to get a little bit distant, but still, like, he would send me texts every single day. Every single day he'd be like, oh, thank you for blah, 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 blah. I love you. Every single day he'd send me a text when I go to work, or thank you for. And I never thought he, like, you know, wasn't into me or whatever. And then around August.
And he's still living with you.
Yeah, still living with me. Still, like, and again, like, I'd never, except for the moments that I was at work during the day.
Mm-hmm.
He was at work at nighttime, so you could never, like, lie about where he was. Like, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like I suspected anything. And when we had the same days off, we were together all day, every day. Like, there was never a time ever that I can think of where he was like, I'm going here, and I wasn't with him. Or, like, because he didn't have friends. You know, he didn't drink. He didn't have friends. So he wasn't going out. He was literally working and hanging out with me. And then,
may I ask you a question? Was he, like, did you guys, like, split rent?
Yes. And that's another thing, too. Everything was in my name. I had a credit card that was my account, but it had his name on one credit card. And every week, we'd put the same amount of money into an account, and that's what I used. And I took care of all the bills with the money that he gave me. And it was always the same. Every week, we put the same amount every week. So it was never like I was fronting shit for him. But then towards the end, we had a wedding to go to, and he's like, do you mind if I put the suit that I'm buying for the wedding on it? And I was like, yeah, no problem. And then his mom had dementia, and he was going home to Ireland to see his mom. And this is where it all gets crazy. And could he put the flight on the credit card? Because really the credit card was only for our joint stuff, like our you know, groceries, dinners out, you know, our utilities. But so he's like, do you mind if I put the flight on the card? No problem. So he goes, and, you know, he FaceTimes me a couple times. He's crying, but he's like sending me texts like, thank you for being there for me. Like, I love you. I don't know what I'd do without you. And he comes back with this little gold ring on his finger. Now that'll come into play later, but I was just like, oh, that's weird. And he's like, oh yeah, I found it when I was in Ireland. And so when he got back, then he started getting distant. Like, it was weird. He just seemed sad a lot. And, like, we weren't having sex as much, and I was just starting to get, like, a little paranoid. I was like, is it me? No, it's not you. I love you. He kept saying, this has nothing to do with you. This is me. I need to, like, fix me before I can be with you. And then it just got worse and worse and worse, where he was just being, like, so sad. But, again, he wasn't, like, as far as I knew, he was here. But the only times, like I said, he was unaccounted for was when I was at work during the daytime. And so this lasted until September. Right before September, he was like, and keep in mind, our anniversary is September 14th. So it would have been 2 years on September 14th. And right the week leading up to that, he was like crying all the time. He was like sleeping in the spare room. He was like just totally closed off. And he said, I think I need to move out. Like, I don't want you to see me like this. I, like, I'm just falling apart here, and it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for me. Like, my therapist thinks I need to break myself down to build myself back up again. And I was like, you're really going to leave? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I just need to. I'm like, well, when are you going to leave? I'm not sure. And then September 14th, on our two-year anniversary, I go into work, and he comes into work as I'm leaving work. And when I left, he sends me a text saying, you know, I don't know how to, like, have conversations with you, but, like, I got some storage today and put my stuff in there until I find a place. I just think it's healthier that, like, you know, I'm in my own. He didn't even have a place. And so I came home, and we have a huge two-bedroom townhouse. The spare bedroom was basically his office. And, I mean, he had cleared everything out. Like, he didn't leave a flossing toothpick behind. Like, he took everything. Thank you. And so I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, so I texted him. I was like, where are you staying? He's like, well, I'm just staying at a friend of Scott's who his sponsor was until I can find a place. You know, I just really need to get, like, figure my shit out. And I was like, well, like, we have bills to pay. Like, I can't leave. It was like 2 months before, 2 weeks before rent was due again. And now he's looking for his own place. And I'm like, kind of left. You know, do I get a roommate? Do I not get a roommate? And he's just kind of like, I don't, like, he's like, do what you need to do. Like, I just have to focus on me. And of course, you want to be like, yeah, like, get better. I'm here for you. You know, like my mom said, if he was like physically ill, you'd stick by him. And he was just claiming to be mentally ill. So, mm-hmm. And we were still working together. So I, you know, at the time I was just like, you know, do what you need to do. And obviously I like got really like unhealthy. I wasn't eating. I like felt horrible, but I was just like trying to do the best for him. And like, I was trying to read articles on like the trauma he was going through and the type of therapy, because everyone kept saying to me like, how, like, this doesn't seem like something a therapist would recommend. Like, it just seems crazy that they're, you know, telling him to leave his one stable environment, you know. And so I was trying to understand the therapy, and I was like, you know, I started following all the like weird things he followed on his Instagram, all the different like psychiatrists and stuff, and just trying to understand what he was going through. And so, you know, I was giving him a space. And as far as, and then so I think maybe about 6 weeks, he was living on, air quotes, his sponsor's friend's couch. And then he got a place right around the corner from work, this little like crack den, which I never saw, but I like, I picked him up there, and like a people that I, like a guy we worked with had been to his apartment. So it did exist. And so then it was like, we were dating again. It was like,
when
you know,
say, when you say crack den, can you expand on that?
Yeah, it was apparently, like, it didn't have a kitchen. It was, like, a room with no kitchen. It was month to month. Yeah, no furniture. It was just, like, a room, basically, from what I... And I, like, I drove him, dropped him off there. It looked like, you know, a crack den. It did not look like a nice place. And so we just, like, it was like we were dating again. You know, we would hang out and, you know, go on dates and, like, hang out on our days off. But, like, he had this other apartment, and I... like, when, you know, when are we gonna do this forever? Like, how long can I? And I was, in the meantime, I was paying the rent all by myself here. And then he celebrated Christmas with my family. And then on New Year's, I was working the day and he was working the night, but we were both off New Year's Day. And I was like, you want to like all cook dinner on New Year's Day? And he was like, oh, I'm still feeling a little bit sick. And I was like, you're not sick enough to go into work, but you're too sick to have dinner with me on New Year's Day. Like, it just, and that started like this big gap. The first time he got like really gaslighting with me was this conversation. He was texting me just being like, I don't even remember, but it was like super gaslighting. Like, I just need to focus on me. And I was like, I don't understand why you're not, you don't want to try and make this work. And I, in the meantime, I was like, can we both go to therapy? Like, do you not want to like try and make it? Cause he never once did he say, I don't want to be with you. I don't like love you. It was like not once. Like, he never, ever gave me the, like, you know, like, it was me. And so he ended up texting me. I left on New Year's Eve. I came home, like, right before midnight, sent me a text at midnight. I love you, baby. Happy New Year. And the next day, I didn't, like, hear from him right away. And he's like, I'll be over later. But kind of ghosted me, like, New Year's Day. And then came over around 6 o'clock for dinner on New Year's Day. Then didn't think anything of it. Because, again, I don't think he knew anyone or whatever. And then... in February, beginning of February, he came over and he was roaring crying. I mean, like, hysterical. And he's like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to move home. I just need to get my head down. Like, I'm not getting better here. It's just getting worse. I'm going to go home to Belfast and help my dad sell the house and, like, just get my head down for a little while. And, like, you know, hopefully I can, like, sort my shit out. And then, you know, we'll kind of take it from there. And keep in mind, he hates Belfast, like hates it. He obviously, he's got trauma from there. We went home to visit the May of 2022, and we were there for 5 days. So we flew to Ireland, and he like could not wait to get out of there. So I was like, really, you're going to go to Ireland? Like, that's like, you hate it there. And he's like, I just, like, what else am I going to do? Like, I can't work for a little while because I can't, like, I just need to like not work and get my head down, and I can stay with my dad. And again, I was like, okay, like, I guess do what you got to do. And so... he went. We had dinner the night before he left, breakfast in the morning, and he wouldn't let me take him to the airport. He's like, no, it's going to be too sad. I'll just Uber. I don't want you to seem like that. So after breakfast, I like dropped him off. He like gave me this like bullshit card that said, actually, it's funny, in hindsight now, like it said, it's like some quote by Rumi or whatever, and it was like, from wrongdoing and right doing, there is a place, I'll meet you there. It was like very suspect, whatever the quote was. And I was like, what a, because usually he would write me like these big long letters and like of how, even at Christmas time when he was still not living with me and living a double life, he wrote me this beautiful card. I'm like, thank you for standing by me this year. You're the most beautiful girl, been the best girlfriend in the world. So this card was like really weird. It was like very short and sweet. And so I was like, okay, well, text me when you, oh no, I said, give me your flight information. And he like wasn't giving it to me. And I was like, what the hell? And he finally, like an hour later, gave me this, like, you know, I'm really upset right now. Like, you have to give me my space and blah, blah, blah. And he sent me this flight information. And then I was like, text him when you land. And he never did. And then like maybe, I don't know, 6 hours after he should have landed, I was like, are you okay? And he's like, oh, sorry, I was sleeping. The family's all asking for you. I'm going to like go back to bed and like, we'll talk in the morning. And then the next day was Valentine's Day. And he had just sent me a text, like, it's all really hard today. I love you. I hope you have the best day you could possibly have. It was like, he was just being sweet, but like, it was, the texts were very like few. And I was like, well, can we FaceTime? And he's like, well, like, not yet. Like, let me get my shit together. And then like, we'll FaceTime, which again, I should have thought was weird. But again, I was just trying to give him a space. And so he had this life in Ireland, or what I thought, for like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe not even 2 weeks. And so I was at your sister was in town. And so I was at Bella and Talia's, and I had said to him about, oh, so this is huge. He was on my phone bill. We like had a shared phone bill. And so I had said to him, do you want me to like cancel it? Or like, what do you want to do? Like, I don't, you know, it's no point of you having an American phone number. He's like, we'll just keep it for a little while because my Venmo, my Zelle is attached to it. And I was like, okay, no problem. But I wanted to go online and see like what he had done already, and if he was paying roaming, or just like to figure out how the phone bill was going to be the cheapest way it could possibly be. And when I went online into his call history, the first three days he was gone, he was making phone calls that weren't roaming. So he was supposed to be in Ireland, but there's all these phone calls. Like, he called Hamptons Inn in Brooklyn. It was like a lot of New York numbers. So I was like, and I started texting him, and I was like, are you in New York? And he got super gaslighted. Like, the texts he was sending me were like, there's no one else if that's what you're thinking. And I was like, of course that's what I'm thinking. He's like, how the fuck could you even say that? After all I've been through this year, I'm just trying to survive. And he was like super, being super aggressive. And I was like, well, where are you? You're obviously not in Ireland. And he was like, oh, we'll talk on Sunday. And I think this was like a Monday or a Tuesday. And he's like, we'll talk on Sunday. And I thought, like, that was the day we were supposed to FaceTime. And so I hung up, and the next morning I had sent the text that I had sent you. I was like, why do you get so angry with me? Like, I love you, and I'm just trying to, like, you know, be there for you. And why do you, like, respond the way you've been responding? And he sends me these texts, and I mean, I sent them to you. They're like, they're the longest texts I've ever seen. 3 or 4 giant long texts about like the trauma that I endured and blah, blah, blah. And this is what it's like. And we have a long road ahead of us. I want you to think about that for a few days. And like, think if that's like what you want to do, because like, it's not going to be an easy road, blah, 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 blah. Sending you love in all the way you need it, blah, 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 blah. He sends me texts, yeah. And then I am super suspicious. And now I'm like, well, I've opened this can of worms of the phone bill. And now I start going through it. And I'm like, okay, well, who's he calling? Who, you know, you're just, you know, like a normal psycho girl that's like, what's happening? And I remember this one time in January, he had texted me. I was at work. Obviously, we knew each other's schedules. And he said, I'm just leaving AA, yay or nay. And he knew I was at work. And so I wrote back, who's this for? And he wrote back, oh, sorry, that was for Glenn. And it was super like suspect. Glenn lives in England. And so what are you, like, it was, he was like, oh yeah, Glenn was supposed to be in town this weekend and we were maybe going to meet, but now he's not in town. It was just very, very suspicious. And I was like, this is.
Hey, I have a question though.
Yeah.
You have confirmed that he's in New York, not.
No. He still hasn't confirmed anything. He's like, we'll talk on Sunday. So I don't know.
Okay.
And it was
so
only 3 days.
You can see that he's most likely in New York, but.
Yes.
He's still claiming to be in Ireland,
but no,
being very sure.
But this
with you.
So we're 2 weeks in. I'd say about 2 weeks in since he's left for Ireland. And it was only 3 of the days that he was in New York. And then I don't remember why I knew. I think there was like a data thing where it was like he was in Spain like three. So he's only, I could confirm, I forget, it was such a long time ago now, but I confirmed that he was only in New York for three of the days that he said he was in Ireland. And then, so I remembered that he had sent me that weird text, and I went into the phone, but I found the text in my messages, and I saw the time, the date, and then I went to the phone bill and looked on the phone bill to where that time and date was, and there was this number that he had called right after the text that he had sent me. Now, keep in mind that if you're iPhone to iPhone and you call an iPhone, it doesn't come up on your phone bill. No, sorry, I take that back. Sorry. If you text iPhone to iPhone, those aren't on your messages because they're iMessages. They're considered data. They're not considered text messages. And if you FaceTime, that's also not on your phone bill. But if you call somebody, it'll be on your phone plan. And so there happened to be this one number, and I called it, and it was a girl. And then I sent it to your sister, and I was like, you know, find me what you can find out. And within like 15 minutes, she sent me this girl's address, her Instagram page, like she had all the information. And when I tried to click on her Instagram page, I was blocked. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, now I was like, Jesus Christ, like, he cheated on me, or he was in, like, and all of a sudden I was like, I never, ever considered it. Like, even after I had seen she had blocked me and who this girl was, I would say to people at work, like, I think he might be cheating on me. And everyone at work was like, there is no way he's cheating on you. Like, there's just, like, no one could believe it. Like, it was insane. So your sister calls her. Oh, no. Before this happens, I FaceTimed him. As soon as I get him on the phone, I'm immediately like, we'll call her Samantha. And his face kind of went a little bit white. And he's like, she's nobody. She's just a friend. And I was like, keep in mind, I've obviously, after I found her phone number, I went through the phone bills for months, beforehand to see like how often he called her. And again, there wasn't that many because if you FaceTime, it doesn't come up. And if you're texting, it doesn't come up because it's iMessage. Only if you go to, like, say my phone's off and you text me and it goes green, then there'll be a text with that number. So there was like very rare few texts when he was obviously flying. He obviously tried to text her, and it went as green, so I could see that he tried to text her when he was flying to wherever the fuck he was flying to. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, I was like, well, I see you text her on February 13th, screenshot me what you text her. He's like, you're fucking crazy. Well, I'm not doing that. She's just a friend. She's nobody. You know what I've been through this year. Like, how could you even say that? And he had me on the phone for, like, I want to say almost 2 hours. Just denying it and being like, and I was like, well, where are you? You're not at your dad's house, clearly. And he's like, I'm in France. And I was like, you're in fucking France? So you've been lying to me where you are? No, my family was asking about where you were, but like, I'm in France now. It was so sketch. And so I hung up on him. I was like, you're fucking lying to me. Like, go fuck yourself. And I hung up.